WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368 WESB.
That's 368 9372.
And good morning. Welcome to the Gardening Show. Phone numbers are open, as you heard, and we'll be on Facebook Live momentarily. Bob, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, it's a little chillier outside.
Yeah.
It's the season, right?
Yep.
Mid-September, that's about right.
Yep, it is.
So what's on the agenda today? I see you brought a couple friends in today, some plants.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about them here a little while.
Great.
I'm going to start out talking about the oak tree. I think I mentioned that last week. So I wanted to go into a little more detail. It's an amazing tree, and I'm going to say that it controls the whole forest. And I'll explain that here a little bit. But the oak tree is, from fossil records, we can see that it was around here 65 million years ago. And in that time, you know, it's had a lot of time to mutate into other forms. So now there are over 400 species of oak throughout the world. And when I say throughout the world, they do circle the world, the oak tree. They grow anywhere from very large oak trees, you know, well over 100 foot tall and maybe 10 foot across at the base, to very small growing ones that don't grow more than 6 inches tall and spread out from there, but they all still produce the acorn. And that's the important part I wanted to talk about. But some of the other things that the oak tree has given to us is the rings. As you slice an oak trunk, you can see there are growth rings inside there. And we can use them growth rings. Archaeologists and other scientists have learned to use them quite a bit because they're very easy to read what the weather conditions were in an area. Of course, a wide ring, a space between a wide ring, would be a warm and wet year in our area. And then narrow rings would be a cold or drought year. And there's also one other exception with a volcanic action that can also bring on a very narrow ring.
What kind of volcanoes are around here, Bob?
Well, there has been in the past, like Yellowstone. Yeah, that's a huge...
In the past, like back in the 70s?
Oh, no, no,
oh,
no,
no, no. I'm kidding,
no,
Bob.
No.
I'm kidding.
Okay. So archaeologists have learned to use that. They can date archaeological sites by finding a piece of oak or other tree, but oak is a real good one to read. They can, by the pattern of the rings, wide ones versus narrow ones, they can get the site, the age of the site. It's even much better than other ways that they used to do that can age a site in, you know, give or take 100 years. But with the oak, they can narrow it down to even the season, not only the year that that site was there, but even the season that the tree was cut down.
How cool is that?
So the oak tree has become real important there. And like I said, it grows all over the world and produces acorns. And one writer, William Bryant Logan, did a whole book called Oak, The Frame of Civilization. He has surmised, you know, hasn't been proven yet, but he surmises that all civilizations grew up underneath the oak tree. And in his studies, he was asking one of his students to give him a map of all the centers for oak where they began. And when the student handed the map over, the professor looked at it and says, no, this is where all civilizations began. And the student says, no, that's where all oak trees began. And so he started to theorize that all civilizations grew up around the oak tree. And some of the reasons that he gives is because the oak always produces a very ample food. And it can be stored for a very long period of time. There have even been oak caches found that are hundreds of years old that are still edible.
Wow, really?
Yes. And where they have found those out in California, where the Native Americans used to collect the acorns, and then they would bury them in a small stream so that as the water would percolate through, it would take the tannins out. If you ever ate an acorn, you'd know that it's a very tart. It's hard to eat because of the tannins in there. But that stream will wash out the tannins so that then when they do dig up the oaks, they can dry them out and then, of course, crush them and make them into flour and then into bread or porridge. And, of course, a lot of archaeological evidence has been found out in California. They found the big grinding stones. They're big flat stones with a divot in it. And they've even found the stone that they would grind the acorns down with and to make the powder or the flour-like substance. So there are other civilizations that have used and still use the acorn as a food source because it's highly nutritious, has a lot of carbohydrates in it. So it's good for the human diet there. I'm trying to think of other things here. So all over the world, it was used as a food source and possibly the very first food source. And the oak tree, the red oak in our area, doesn't always produce a lot of acorns. This year, it's not producing many. And it's what we call masting, that every 3 to 5 years, it'll produce a lot of acorns. And anybody has a oak tree in their yard or has walked through the woods under an oak tree during a mast year, this time of year, the ground can be totally covered. There can be tens of thousands of acorns on the ground. But again, this year it's not. We go east, like over into Maine, and it is a mast year for them. Or we can go west, like over to Minnesota and Michigan, and it's a mast year for them. But for us, it is not. And also in his book, he likes to explain that how the oak tree controls the forest with that mast year. Now, everything in the forest, just about everything, depends on that acorn. We all know the deer like to eat the acorn, but there are many, many animals and birds. Like the blue jays, a real famous one, loves to collect a lot of acorns, becomes a very important food source, right down to the mouse, and then, of course, the deer and the bear, and it goes on and on. There's so many animals. And then the animals that depend on the animals that depended on the acorn.
A whole chain reaction.
Yes, yes. And so somehow he has theorized that how the oak controls that the forest is by when the acorns drop to the ground, become a great food source, that population of animals starts to grow very quickly because there's a great food source. And so the next year, and of course, a lot of those animals will feed on the oak tree itself too. And the oak tree wants to deliver some of them acorns to the ground to become new oak trees to continue on its genes. So as that population grows, then the oak tree stops making a massed amount of acorns, and it produces very, very few. So in those years, all those animals tend to starve a bit, and they can't reproduce quite as well. So that the oak tree controls the population of all the animals in the forest. It's It's just a theory. You know, he hasn't been able to prove it, but a lot of people agree with it. And it's a very interesting theory and a logical one to me. So the oak controls the whole forest. And another fascinating fact about the oak tree is most trees, as they're growing and leafing out, can produce what we call flushes, two flushes of leaves, so that if like a maple tree starts to leaf out and then we have a real late frost in it and it kills off all the leaves, that maple tree can leaf out again, waiting a few weeks, and it'll start to leaf out again. If we have another frost, well, then it's could be death to that tree because it can't produce any more leaves. But the oak tree can reproduce its leaves up to four times. So even into fall, it can even leaf out, whether it been attacked by frost or some kind of insect, like around here, you know, our gypsy moths tend to strip a lot of leaves off. And most of the time, it doesn't really kill an oak tree because it's going to re-leaf out. And by then, the gypsy moth is done and it's gone back into the ground.
Well, don't those have a cycle of a certain amount of years, too?
They do, too, you know, yes. Yeah, they have that's the cycle of abundance in nature.
I remember we had a ton of them a few years ago.
Yeah.
It was like a real problem.
Yep, we did. And I think that cycles around 11 years that they can come out in a huge amount. So the oak tree has learned possibly a way to defend against it by being able to relief up to four times if it has to. So that's all the interesting stuff about the oak. You know, it's a very fascinating tree. It's America's tree too, the oak tree. It's not the tallest, it's not the biggest, it's not the longest lived, but it probably is the most important tree throughout the world.
How long do they live? I know these can last one of the older trees, right?
Yeah, they can live up to 1,000 years.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah, there are claims that are some that are 1,000 years old.
I thought you were going to say like 200-300 years.
Oh, no.
They can,
yeah. Especially over in Europe, you know, they're much older ones. There's probably some older ones here in America we just haven't discovered yet. I got a chance one time to visit the Angel Oak. That's one of the more famous oaks in America. And it's claimed to be about 700 years old, but it's a huge, huge thing. They say that over 2,000 or 3,000 people can stand underneath in the shade of that oak tree.
Wow.
Yeah, it's probably wider than it is tall. It's probably about 100, 150 feet tall.
Wow.
But it's well over 200 feet wide. It's really amazing thing to see. Even some of its small branches are larger than the big oaks we have in our area.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing sight to see. And then I've got to see several other of the oaks, too. There's one called the Friendship Oak, where a lot of important treaties were signed underneath, and it's still growing in good health. But also, it's what I call a monster. They're just huge.
And where's this Friendship Oak?
That's down in the Carolinas.
Okay.
Yeah. If I remember right. But there are really big oaks around here, too. Not very often seen. I've been able to see a couple, you know, and it's fascinating to see a 200-300-400-year-old oak tree. Now, I know most of the trees were logged out here, but some property owners way back in the past, you know, insisted to keep certain trees, not only for their acorns, but for their shade and to mark boundary lines. So we do have a few of those older trees around here, and they're quite fascinating to see.
Absolutely. And how long does it take from a little, you know, sapling or whatever to grow into a mature oak?
Oh, gosh, it can take 100 years to grow into. But it won't produce any acorns for the first 5 years at least. You know, it takes a while to grow. Its growth habit is different from every other tree, too. Once an acorn hits the ground and goes through the winter, then in the spring, it's going to start to develop a root and no top, just the root. and the root will penetrate down through the earth. And then after a while, the top will start to grow. But the root, it's kind of a different thing between all trees. The root is going to be much bigger than the top of the tree for the first several years of the oak tree. And so it'll start to develop on top out of the ground and produce the leaves. And you'll notice if you see a little tiny one, you know, 2 or 3 feet tall, that the leaves are very, very large because they can't put forth a lot of leaves yet because there's not a lot of wood there. So they produce large leaves to catch lots of sunlight so that they can make lots of food to grow very rapidly. And then after about 5 years, they can start to produce an acorn,
mm-hmm.
Whether it be white oak or red oak. There's a lot of different kinds. There's swamp oaks. There's a lot of different kinds of oaks in our areas.
I was just curious if like a family wanted to plant a tree, you know, is an oak a good choice to see it kind of grow with the family? Or
if you got a good spacious yard, because remember, it's going to grow very tall and very wide. So you don't want to plant it near the house.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a good size yard, yes, it's an excellent tree. And because it supports not only all the deer and the mice and all bear and all those animals, it helps support the largest amount of insect population of any tree.
That's a good way to no sell it to me. I don't want all those critters in my yard.
Well,
all right.
By producing all those insects, it can help the population of all the little animals because insects are very high in protein, so they're extremely important too. It's just a good tree all the way around, and it's a good tree by the wood it produces. The Europeans would have never had great navies without the oak tree. Mm. You know, they built all their ships out of oak.
Sure.
Even the Americans, you know, they say maybe that's why we won the War of Independence, because we had such great oak trees. At that time, Europe was becoming barren of oak trees, but we had plenty of them so we could build a nice navy to fight and get our independence that way.
Excellent. And the final question for me,
okay,
to you about the oaks, do they prefer a type of soil over, you know, like if you have a real clay
kind
of soil?
Yeah, good question. They really have no preference. There are oaks that grow in near desert conditions, very little water, all sandy volcanic soils. And then there are oaks that grow in our area where it's all clay and hardpan. Their roots are able to penetrate and break through the rocks or go around the rocks. So, yeah, it can grow in any soil type.
Great. Well, we have to take a short break here. We'll be back.
Okay.
And you have some show and tell, I see.
You bet.
So we'll take a look at those right after this on The Gardening Show, right here on B107.5 FM. And we're back. The commercial didn't work.
Was quick.
I'll have to investigate why that didn't work. I suspect that it is out of date, but I'll have to change that around. So go ahead and I see we have a yellow something or other, and we have a purple something or other.
Yeah.
What do you have for us?
These
today
are mums, chrysanthemum. This time of year, it's one of the most popular plants for a good reason, because they like to bloom right now. And they can continue to bloom up and past even Thanksgiving. So a great plant to really dress up the outdoors. Here I've got a yellow one. They come in a lot of different colors here it comes in. Great plant that you can plant outside or just keep in the pot on your porch, deck, or patio. Let me get that mic out of the way.
Hey, there you go. And then it's right in front of the camera there. Yeah, that's a nice little pop of yellow.
And that's just a small one.
Uh-huh.
And then I also have this purplish colored ones. But like I say, they come in white and yellow, red, purplish and bluish and bronze and orange. Come in a lot of different neat colors depending on what you want. But they're all flashy in flower. very what we call profusely. Ooh, hard for me to say.
Profusely?
Yeah, profusely.
Oh, okay.
And if you could see real close, you know, you would see a lot of open flowers, and then you would see some just partially open and many in there that are not near open yet. So as the older flowers get spent, you can pinch them off and new flowers will continue to come. And like I said, right up over past Thanksgiving even quite often.
Do these die after a year?
Most of the time. Most of the time. Now, there is a way to keep your mum as a perennial. You've got to plant it in the ground, the sooner the better, so it can develop a root system and a bigger root system to help support it for the next year. And you don't want to trim it all the way back after a good freeze, because a frost is not going to harm the mum. But a good freeze will kill off all the leaves and flowers. And then you want to trim it back, but you want to leave about 6 inches of the stems sticking out. And then it's a good idea to throw some mulch in there or some old leaves in there to help protect the root system.
So the top can freeze. You just got to protect the roots.
Yeah. And the most important part is what we call the basal section of the plant. That's where the plant emerges from the soil. That's the basal form. That's where we really want to protect it because it can't withstand winter. So those leaves, by having those long stems, we can put leaves in there and they'll stay in there. They won't blow away. Or we can just pile some mulch in there. And then come early spring, when we start to see some new growth, we can gently pull the mulch back so the plant can get sunlight and start to regrow. So it can be a perennial. It's not a real reliable perennial, but it's well worth a try. And then there's aftercare to it. Once it gets around June, you want to cut it back a little bit. Now, just a few inches, because otherwise it's going to want to start to bloom early, or it can get a little bit too tall so that when it does start producing blooms, I've seen them 3 foot tall, even the mums. When it does start to get tall and bloom, it'll collect a lot of moisture and dew, and that weight can bend the mum over and cause damage. So we want to give it that trim in June so that it won't get so tall. And then it'll produce the flower buds and be ready to bloom at the time we want it to bloom.
Yeah.
So it can be a perennial. Yeah, and you want to fertilize it too.
Mm.
They are a heavy feeder. So in order to keep it going well, we'll want to fertilize it also. So that's my story about the mums. Oh, one more thing, you know.
One more thing?
Yeah.
We'll hear that in 30 seconds.
Okay.
It's the Gardening Show, B107.5.
Visit Worth W. Smith Company in Bradford and see all they have to offer for your outdoor cooking. You'll find a wide variety of mountain pie makers, bread makers, hot dog forks, and other fire pit cooking products. If that's not your style, don't worry, they didn't forget you. They have whatever cooking fuel you need, whether it's charcoal, propane, or one of several flavors of Bear Mountain wood pellets they have in stock. So next time you're looking for something for backyard cooking, remember, if you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company in Bradford.
And we're back with the Gardening Show on B107.5 FM. Go a couple more minutes. If you have any phone calls or questions, please let us know about it. 814-368-9372. We'll stay a couple minutes after.
Okay.
Since we were about 3 minutes after we were supposed to start, like at 8:33. We're talking about mums.
Yep.
You can see those on Facebook Live. And you said there was one more thing that you wanted to talk about. Those.
Yeah, the kind of the story behind the mum. The mum came from China and was brought to America. And at one time, there was a very high official and a very well-liked man in China. I forget his name.
We'll call him Larry.
Larry, okay. Larry was being promoted to a super high position in the Chinese government, and he denied it. He said he'd rather sit at home and enjoy his mums than to become a high government official.
Wow.
So then, of course, that started to bring on the popularity of mums and even all flowering plants in China. This is going way, way back, hundreds and hundreds of years ago. So the mum became a very important plant, and they started growing them all over. Everybody had to have a mum. It was a good place to contemplate life there, mm-hmm. and just play with your mums. So that's a mum story. It's just an interesting one to me. So keep in mind, you know, if you really want to decorate and make the front of your home or the back of your home look really nice, and you can contemplate life, you know, pick up a couple mums.
There you have it. Another quick story that I may share about mums. I have a story I'll never forget. A young Igor in love, 19 years old.
Oh.
Wanted to bring my girlfriend some flowers. Went to a gas station, found some $2 mums.
Yeah.
Brought her some. And she goes, oh, you brought me mums? So it's not the most romantic flower if you want to bring your girlfriend. Just wanted to share that with the young kids out there that you might want to get a fancier flower for your girl.
Yeah, you might want to get roses. Yeah.
I mean, I didn't know. Yeah. Listen, hey, they're colorful. They're flowers. I guess a lady would like this. Nope. Well, I mean, she did. It's just like, oh, okay.
I would consider it a great gift, the mum.
Well, that's because you're Mr. Plant. Any plant's good for you. Except poison ivy, maybe.
Yeah, that's not such a great gift.
With that, we're all out of time today. Join us next week with more Gardening Show. And if you missed any of the shows this season or previous seasons, they're all on demand at WESB.com. Have a great weekend, Bob.
Thanks,
Thank you so
Igor.
Much. All right. It's B107.5 FM.